إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، then to continue with العقيدة الطحاوية. The creed compiled by Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, with the explanation of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah. Then last week, we had the points number 137 and 138. وَلَا يَخْرُجُ الْعَبْدُ من الإيمان إلا بجحود ما أدخله فيه. And the servant does not exit from Iman except by denying that which entered him into it. Then who can remember what was wrong with this phrase? What was wrong with this phrase that At-Tahawi rahimahullah brings here? Sheikh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, explained in this statement that nothing takes a person outside Islam except by denying that which brought him into it. Then, Sheikh al-Fawzan correctly points out that not only denying Islam takes a person out of Islam, there are other things which do not fall under juhud, do not fall under denial, which also take a person outside Islam, such as mocking Islam, abusing Allah, abusing His Messenger, abusing the religion, committing shirk, major shirk, and the rest of the affairs which he mentioned break a person's Islam, which the scholars include in their books in the chapters of apostasy, bab al-ridda. And this is not limited to just one thing which takes a person outside Islam, juhud, denying what brought him into it. This is not correct to restrict it to that. As for the second sentence that we had, وَالْإِيمَانُ هُوَ الْإِقْرَارُ بِاللِّسَانِ وَالْتَصْدِيقُ بِالْجَنَانِ. And iman, true faith, is to affirm with the tongue and to believe with the heart. Then likewise, Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he criticized this phrase as well, that this phrase is also not correct. Who can remember why this phrase is not correct?
Because you also have to have action of the limbs.
Yeah. As the brother mentioned, because Iman also includes, with the people of the Sunnah, upon the correct saying, that Iman not only is belief of the heart and speech of the tongue, but also includes action of the limbs. That is also a part of Iman. It's not outside Iman, it's a part of Iman. He also mentioned that the statement here, that Iman is to affirm with the tongue and to believe with the heart, this is a definition of Iman of who? Whose definition is this?
The Murji'ah.
Yeah. This is the definition of the Murji'ah. It's an incorrect definition of Iman. It's the definition of Murji'ah and it excludes actions. He also brought the point that with the people of the Sunnah, Iman yazid wa yanqus. Iman increases and decreases. Who can remember some evidence for that? Some evidence that Iman increases and decreases, contrary to what the Murji'ah say and other deviant sects. Some evidence that Iman increases and decreases. Hadith of the branches of Iman, The Iman is of 60 or 70 odd branches. The highest of them are saying that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. And the lowest of them, removal of that which is harmful from the path. And Al-Haya, alayhi salam wa rahmatullah, a sense of shame is a branch of Iman. You can remember another evidence. No. The ayah, there are a number of ayahs that he brought amongst them. The ayah, وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ وَلَيْكُمْ سَلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ. Al-Anfal, the second ayah, so the eighth surah, وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. It increases them iman when Allah's signs are recited to them, Allah's ayahs are recited to them, زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. It increases them in iman. He also mentioned an evidence for the decrease of iman. Who can remember? Or he mentioned more than one evidence. Who can remember an evidence for the decrease of iman, that iman can decrease as well? Just as it can increase, it can decrease. Hadith reported by Muslim from Hadith Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu an, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever amongst you sees an evil, let him change it with his hand, and if he is not able, then with his tongue, and if he is not able, then with his heart, and that is the weakest of iman. So there's an evidence that iman, in the second edition that the Shaykh mentioned, there is not, also reported by Muslim, there is not even a mustard seed of iman beyond that. So it shows that iman can decrease even to the extent of a mustard seed. And likewise, he mentioned the hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, the hadith of intercession, where it's mentioned, take out from the fire whoever has in his heart the slightest mustard seed of iman. So it shows that iman can reduce to such an extent that it's of the tiniest amount, even of the amount of a mustard seed. He mentioned a point of refutation of one of the deviant beliefs. He mentioned that first of all, the Murji'ah are of how many different groups? How many different groups of the Murji'ah did he mention that there are? He mentioned that there are four different groups of the Murji'ah. Amongst them, he mentioned the Ash'a'irah, the Ash'aris. These are one of the groups of the Murji'ah, and that they say that iman is at tasdiqu bil qalb, to attest to the truth in the heart. That is iman. And he mentioned a point of refutation of their saying. Who can remember the point that he brought against them? That upon their saying, what would their saying necessitate? The saying of the Ash'aris, the Ash'a'ira, that iman is tasdiqu bil qalb, the heart attesting to the truth. This would necessitate and mean what? Yeah. The problem with that is, upon that saying, Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and the Jews and so on, they believed in their hearts that their hearts attested to the truth. In their hearts they attested to the truth. They knew of the truth of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their hearts, but they denied it upon their tongues and they refused to comply with their limbs. So upon this definition of the Ash'aris, then Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl and the Jews would have been believers. Then with regard to the next point, point number 139, then At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, continues, وَجَمِيعُ مَا صَحَّ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنَ الشَّرْعِ وَالْبَيَانِ كُلِّهِ حَقٍّ. And everything which is authentic from Allah's Messenger, صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, from the legislation and the clear explanation is all true. And everything which is authentic from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from the legislation and the clear explanation, all of it is true. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, said, "This is fine speech. Everything which is authentic from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then it is true. Contrary to those who say that what is reported from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is divided into categories, into that which is mutawatir, reported by many, many chains of narration, and that which is ahad, meaning that which is reported by limited or through limited chains of narration." And just as a side point, meaning mutawatir, meaning reported by huge numbers of people, a large number of people, at every chain or every stage of the chains of narration, that the companions, a large number of companions, report the hadith. And from the next level down, the tabi'een, a large number of tabi'een report it from at least one of the companions, and so on, all the way down through the chains of narration. At every stage, the atba' tabi'een, and the next generation, every generation, a very large number of people report this narration. And that's described, as the scholars mention, such a large number of people that it would be impossible for them to get together and invent a lie. And that which does not reach this level is described as being ahad, whether it's reported by one man, or two men, or three, as long as it doesn't reach the level of mutawatir, then it's described as ahad, limited, that which is reported through a limited number of chains of narration. So he said, contrary to the saying of those who say, that which is reported from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is divided into the mutawatir and the ahad, that reported by many chains of narration, and that reported just by a limited number of chains. And they do not accept, the people who say this, they say, he says, they do not accept, except for the mutawatir. They only accept the reports which are mutawatir, reported by huge numbers of people at every level of the narrations. And they say, the ahadith, ahadithul ahad, the ahad narrations, those which have got just a limited number of narrators at each stage, they do not bring about knowledge. They do not amount to knowledge. And they do not amount to certainty. And they cannot be used as proof in aqidah, in creed and belief. And this is false and futile. All of this saying of theirs is false and futile. Rather, everything which is authentic, sahih, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether it be mutawatir, reported by many people at each stage, or reported by a limited number of people, as long as it is sahih, authentic, then it amounts to knowledge, ilm. And aqidah, creed and belief, is built upon it. Because it is authentic from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that's why it amounts to knowledge. As long as it's authentic from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then with that condition that it's sahih, it's authentic from him, it amounts to knowledge, and aqidah is built upon it. He said, and he the Most High said, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. Surah Al-Hashr, the 59th surah, ayah 7, with the explanation. And whatever the Messenger gives you, then accept it. Whatever the Messenger gives you, then accept it. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, so if a hadith is authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then it is acted upon. in everything. It is acted upon in everything with the condition that it is sahih, that it is authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, and there are groups today who cause people to doubt the sunnah. Some of them say it is not permissible to act on the sunnah whatsoever. It's not permissible, they say, some of them. It's not permissible to act on the sunnah at all. And that it is sufficient to act upon the Quran alone. And in a footnote, they mention a footnote where the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the coming of the like of these people. So they say, from Al-Miqdam ibn Ma'adi Karib Al-Kindi radiallahu an, who said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ala inni utitu al-kitaba wa mithlahu ma'ahu. Ala inni utitu al-Qur'ana wa mithlahu ma'ahu. ألا يوشك رجل ينثني شبعان على عريكته يقول عليكم بالقرآن فما وجدتم فيه من حلال فأحلوه وما وجدتم فيه من حرام فحرموه. From Al-Miqdam ibn Ma'di Karib Al-Kindi رضي الله عنه, who said, Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, I have certainly been given the book and its like along with it. I have certainly been given the Quran and its like along with it. It will soon occur that a man will recline with a full stomach upon his couch, saying, accept the Quran. Accept the Quran alone. Whatever you find to be halal, lawful in it, then declare it lawful. And whatever you find to be forbidden in it, then declare that forbidden. The hadith reported by Ahmad and Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi and others, and declared sahih, authentic by Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah. So this is the first group. The Shaykh al-Fawzan mentions there are some groups today who cause doubts about the sunnah. Some of them say we don't act upon the sunnah whatsoever, and it is sufficient to act upon the Qur'an alone. Then he said, mentioning a second group, and there are some who say that only that which is mutawatir, only that which is reported by huge numbers of people at each level of the chains of narration, only that which is mutawatir from the sunnah is to be accepted. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and both of these two groups are dhal. Both of these two groups are astray. I mean, the groups who says we don't act on the sunnah whatsoever, we leave the sunnah aside and we just act on the Qur'an. And the second group, those who say we only take that which is mutawatir from the sunnah, they are likewise astray. And he said, so what is obligatory upon the Muslim is that he believes that everything which is authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is true. Then he says, and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he acted upon Khabrul Wahid. He himself acted upon the report of a single man in many instances. With regard to the sighting of the crescent moon, the Hilal, with regard to the sighting of the crescent moon, when Ibn Umar came to him and informed him that he had seen the crescent moon, then he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, commanded the people to fast. And the evidence, this hadith, is reported by Abu Dawood and was declared sahih, authentic by Shaykh al-Albani. That Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, informed that he alone had seen the crescent moon, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam acted upon that report of a single companion and commanded the people to fast. And then Shaykh al-Fawzan mentions a second report. He said, and a Bedouin came to him and informed him that he had seen the crescent moon. So he said to him, Atashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Atashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. He said to him, do you bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah? Do you bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah? So he said, yes. So therefore the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded the people to fast. In a footnote, they mention that this hadith is reported by Tirmidhi and Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah and others. And as for this report, then as for Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, then he declared this narration da'if, unauthentic, weak. Because it's from a narration of Sammak ibn Harb, who reported some of his narrations in contradictory forms. And in this narration, in the like of this narration, the narrators who narrated from him reported contradictory narrations of how it was reported. Some of them reporting it all the way back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and some of them with a missing link at the stage of the companions. In other words, with a broken chain of narration. Sheikh Al-Albani mentions, and a group of the scholars, and that is what is correct, hold that this hadith is mursal. It's got a missing link at the stage of the companions. That this is counted by Sheikh Al-Albani as being a da'if, a weak report. As for the first one that was mentioned, that was authentic. Then Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, and this was khabarun wahid. It was a report of a single man. Then he said, and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to send individual messengers. When he sent people out with messages to the different rulers, he said he used to send individual messengers. He had not used to send whole groups of people. And those to whom they were sent acted upon what the representative reported to them from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, Shaykh al-Fawzan is using both of these things as a proof against this belief. That which is not motivated from the Sunnah, not reported by huge numbers of people, reported only by a single man or a couple of men or three men, or that we can't act on it. He said this is contrary to the Sunnah, contrary to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepting the report of Ibn Umar. And he came and said that he had seen the moon, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded the Muslims to fast. Likewise, contrary to the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when he sent people to teach the religion or to call to the religion, he sent individual men out. He didn't send a whole group of people, and these single men were enough to establish the proof. That's where Sheikh al-Fawzan ends explanation upon this point. Then just as a further points. And in the notes of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdulaziz ibn Mani', rahimahullah, then he said, with regard to this point, and everything which is authentic from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the legislation and from the clarification, then it is true. He said, his saying, everything which is authentic from Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the end. What he means by that is a refutation upon all of the Jahmiyya, the Mu'attila, those who deny Allah's attributes, and the Mu'tazila, and the Rafida, those who say that the reports are of two categories, that which is mutawatir and that which is ahad, that which is reported by huge numbers of people and that which is not. And they say, also, he continues with what they say, and that the mutawatir, those reports which are reported by huge numbers of people at every stage, so much that we have no doubt whatsoever about its being established, he said, that they say, the mutawatir, even though it is definite with regard to its chain of narration, but it is still not definite in what it indicates. Because verbal evidences do not amount to certainty. This is a point that people we find sometimes people don't notice this point, that some of the deviant sects, when they say we can only accept in matters of aqidah that which is mutawatir, then it doesn't just mean that we accept the Qur'an, because with them, you can't even accept the Qur'an, as the Shaykh continues here. With them, even the Qur'an is mutawatir with regard to its report, but if you take any ayah from it, it's not, in their view, it's not mutawatir, it's not certain with regard to its meaning. Because any ayah, as they say, any ayah can have more than one meaning. So therefore its meaning is not certain. Its establishment is certain, but its meaning is not certain. So they say even the Qur'an you can't use as proof, as the Shaykh said. So therefore, they say that the Qur'an, as they said just before, they say even though it is definite with regard to its chain of narration, but it is not definite in its indication, since verbal evidences do not amount to certainty. So therefore, they say that the Qur'an, even the Qur'an, cannot be used as evidence with regard to Allah's attributes. So with them, you can't use it to establish matters like Allah's attributes. You can't use the Qur'an, you can't use the Sunnah. Both have gone. He said, they say, and the ahad narrations, the singular narrations, or the narrations which are not mutawatir, they do not amount to knowledge at all. And they do not use that as proof with regard to the text. So therefore, they block for the hearts knowledge and awareness of the Lord, the Most High. I mean, that's what they say. They say we can only accept that which is definite. Definite is mutawatir, being reported, and it's definite in meaning. And they say that's not the Quran, it's not the Sunnah. So what is it then? So he said, so the result of this saying of theirs is that they block to the people's hearts knowledge and awareness of the Lord, the Most High, and his names and his actions by way of the messenger. And instead, they direct the people to deluded conjectures and imaginary concepts, which they call intellectual certainties. I mean, when it comes to matters of aqidah and matters of belief in Allah's names and attributes, they say the Qur'an cannot be used as evidence, the Sunnah cannot be used as evidence, so they're left with just what they take to be the intellect only. Sheikh Ibn Mani said, whereas the truth and what is correct is what is held by the major imams and verifiers, that Khabr al-Wahid, the reports, singular reports, of a reliable narrator, establish ilm, establish knowledge, as occurs in Fath al-Majid, the explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed, and the treatises of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah in Usul al-Tafsir, and likewise Ibn al-Qayyim performed long research in his book An-Nuniyyah and his book As-Sawa'iq in such a way as will satisfy and suffice. And more than one scholar held that a report occurring in the two Sahihs, that of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, amounts to al-ilm al-yaqini, certain knowledge, absolutely certain knowledge. And refer to the beginning of the book, Lawa'ih al-Anwar of As-Saffarini, and that is the truth. Sheikh said, that is the correct and true saying. Then another note that is brought here, a note from Sheikh al-Albani, rahimahullah, that he said about this same point. I mean, that everything which is authentic from the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then it is the truth, he said. Without making a difference between what is Khabr al-Ahad and what is Mutawatir, making no difference about that. As long as it is authentic from Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this is the truth, which there is no doubt about, and to make a distinction between that which is mutawatir and that which is not, is a bid'ah, and is philosophy which is foreign to Islam, contrary to that which the Salaf al-Salih were upon, and the Mujtahid Imams, as I have verified in my treatise, The Obligation of Accepting the Ahad Narrations in Aqidah. and a refutation of the doubts of those who oppose. And it has been printed. Then, with regard to the next point that Tahawi rahimahullah brings, point number 140, وَالْإِيمَانُ واحد وَأَهْلُهُ فِيهِ سَوَاءٌ. Iman, he said, Iman is one entity, and its people regarding it are the same. He said, Iman is one entity, one thing, and its people regarding it are all the same. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, this is a mistake, because Iman is not one entity, and its people are not all the same. Rather, Iman varies in levels of excellence, and it increases and it decreases, except in the view of the Murji'ah. I mean, the statement that Iman is just one thing and all the people are the same, that's the saying of the Murji'ah. And the reality is that it is not all one, it's not one entity, its people are not all the same, rather it varies, Iman varies in levels of excellence, it increases and it decreases. And then he said, and at tasdiq, attesting with the heart, even the basis, even attesting with the heart, at tasdiq, the people are not the same even with regard to that. So the Iman of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was not like the Iman of a sinful Muslim. Because a sinner from the Muslims, his Iman is very weak. Whereas the Iman of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was equal to the Iman of the whole of the Ummah. And they bring a report in that regard, as a footnote, they bring a report. So from Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma, who said, we used to speak about which were the best of the people in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we used to say that Abu Bakr was the best, and then Umar ibn al-Khattab, and then Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhum. The hadith reported by Al-Bukhari as hadith 3655. And in another wording, they say, in another wording, that he said, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhum said, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we had not used to hold anyone as being equal to Abu Bakr, and then Umar, and then Uthman. And then we would leave the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not declaring any more excellent than others, meaning after that. And likewise, they mentioned another report brought by al-Bukhari and from Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya, who said, I said to my father, which of the people was best after Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So he said, Abu Bakr. I said, and then who? He said, then Umar. And I feared that he would say Uthman. So I said, and then you? Me speaking to Ali radiallahu anhu, and then you? He said, I am just a man from the Muslims. Reported by Al-Bukhari as hadith number 3671. Sheikh Al-Fawzan continued, so the people are not the same in its basis. In the very basic Iman, the basis of Iman, belief and attestation of the heart, the people are not even the same in that. This is with regard to its basis. And so even in that matter, belief of the heart, people are not equal even in that. Then he said, and likewise with regard to actions, obviously, actions which are from Iman. He said, likewise, with regard to actions, the people vary in degrees of excellence with regard to actions. Some of them are just as Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, said, ثم أورثنا الكتاب الذين اصطفينا من عبادنا فمنهم ظالم لنفسه. Surah Fatir, the 35th surah, ayah 32, with the explanation, and then we caused the book to be inherited by those whom we chose from our servants. So from them there were some who wronged themselves. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this refers to the sinner. This refers to the sinner whose sins are less than shirk. So he is ظالمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. Person who commits sins, but these sins are less than shirk. He is one who is wronging himself. ظالمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. Because he is putting his self, his soul, in danger. Then he mentioned the next part of the ayah. وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدْ. And some of them are moderate. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, that is the person who does the obligatory actions and keeps away from the forbidden actions. Then he mentions the next part of the ayah, وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. As we said, Surah Fatir, the 35th Surah, ayah 32, with the explanation, and from them, the third category, and from them are those who are foremost in good deeds by the permission of Allah. And he mentions who they are. And he is the person who performs the obligatory actions and the recommended actions. And he avoids the forbidden things and the disliked things and some of the permissible things. He leaves them as well as a precaution. He said, so the ummah are not all the same. Rather, it is of three groups, three sections. From them is the person who wrongs himself. From them is the one who is moderate. And from them is the person who is foremost upon good deeds. So this shows that iman varies in degrees of excellence. So this ayah, Surah Fatir, 35th Surah, ayah 32, is an evidence for that, that people are not equal in their iman, rather they vary. As for Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz, rahimahullah, then he mentions a point here. As for the saying that iman is one and its people with regard to its basis are equal, he said, this is suspect. Indeed, it is batil, false and futile. Because the people of iman are not the same in it. Rather, they vary in it very greatly. So the iman of the messengers is not like the iman of others. Just as the iman of the rightly guided khulafa and the rest of the companions, radiallahu anhum, is not like the iman of other people. It's far greater. And likewise, the iman of the true believers is not the same as the iman of the sinful people. And this variation occurs in accordance with what is in the heart, from knowledge of Allah and His names and His attributes and what He has legislated for His servants. And this is the saying of the people of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, contrary to the Murji'ah and those who hold their saying, and Allah's aid is sought. And with regard to the next point, point number 141, then At-Tahawi rahimahullah said, وَالتَّفَاضُلُ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْخَشْيَةِ وَالتُّقَى وَمُخَالَفَةِ الْهَوَى وَمُلَازَمَةِ الْأُولَى. And variation in excellence between them is through fear and dutifulness and by opposing desires and by adhering to what has most right. And with regard to this point, Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, this is not enough. I mean, this statement is not sufficient. This is not sufficient. Because its meaning is to take actions outside what is called iman. And that if a person attests in his heart and says it upon his tongue, then he is a mu'min, he is a believer, complete in iman. And that the people do not vary in degrees of excellence in that. And this is a great mistake. Because variation occurs through what he mentioned, and also through righteous actions. In other words, the point that Tahawi rahimahullah made here, it's okay as far as it goes, that people do vary in accordance with their fear of Allah, and in accordance with their dutifulness to Allah, and in accordance with contradicting their desires, and acting and doing what is as most right. People do vary in that, no doubt. But it's not sufficient to say that. Because that is to say that people don't vary in iman in accordance with actions. Because, as the murji'ah say, actions are outside iman. And so Sheikh Fawzan says, so people do vary in accordance with what he said, but they also vary in accordance with righteous actions. And as for a small point here that Sheikh Al-Albani made, then he said, rahimahullah, upon this statement of At-Tahawi, and variation in excellence between them is by fear and dutifulness, and by opposing desires, and by adhering to what has most right, he said, this is based upon what has proceeded from his saying that iman is just to affirm in the heart and to agree upon the tongue. And you have known that what is correct in that regard is that iman varies even in its basis. Even in what is in the heart, people vary. And that the iman of a righteous person is not like the iman of a wicked person. In other words, again, correcting this point. And with regard to the next point that we'll take as the last point today, insha'Allah, point number 142, that At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, said, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ كُلُّهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ الرَّحْمَانِ وَأَكْرَمُهُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَطْوَعُهُمْ وَأَتْبَعُهُمْ لِلْقُرْآنِ. And all of the believers are servants loved by the Most Merciful, awliya of Ar-Rahman. All of the believers are servants loved by the Most Merciful. And those having the most honor with Allah are the ones who are the most obedient, and those who most closely follow the Qur'an. Sheikh Al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, said, this is true. So the believers, the mu'minun, all of them are awliya'ullah. All of the believers are beloved servants of Allah. He said, awliya'ullah, meaning ahibba'uhu. Meaning people loved by Allah. All of the believers are that. So Allah loves the believers, and he loves the people of taqwa, those who are dutiful to him, and he loves the doers of good, the muhsineen, and he loves the tawwabeen, those who turn in repentance to him, and he loves those who purify themselves. Just as he hates the unbelievers, and he hates the wicked sinners, so Allah loves and hates in accordance with deeds. In accordance with people's deeds. So every mu'min, every believer, is a wali of Allah. Every believer is a beloved servant of Allah. And they vary in their degrees of how beloved they are to Allah. Some of them being more excellent than others. He, the Majestic and Most High, said, ألا إن أولياء الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون. Surah Yunus, the 10th surah, ayah 62 and 63. These two ayahs that define, give a definition of what is a wali. What is a beloved servant of Allah? A wali of Allah, wali of Allah. With the explanation. Indeed, the beloved servants of Allah, there will be no fear upon them, nor will they grieve. They are those who have iman, those who are true believers, and they have taqwa. They are dutiful to Allah. They fear and are dutiful to Allah. So it's mentioned in definition of them that they have iman and they have taqwa. They are the people, the awliya of Allah. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so from the people, there are some whose degree of love from Allah is complete, and there are some whose degree of love from Allah is deficient, not complete. And there are some people who are such that they are an enemy of Allah and are far removed from Allah, the perfect and most high. And he said, so whoever has iman and taqwa, then he is waliullah. He is a beloved servant of Allah. With those two things. Some of the scholars mentioned in the past, whoever has these two things, iman and taqwa, then he is a wali of Allah. So Shaykh Fawzan said the same thing. Whoever has with him iman and taqwa, iman, true faith, and taqwa, fear of Allah, and dutifulness to him, then he is a beloved servant of Allah. However, this wilaya, this degree of love, will vary in accordance with the person's deeds. So some of them will have a degree of love from Allah which is complete, and some will be a beloved servant of Allah from one aspect, and he is the sinful believer. He'll be a beloved servant of Allah only from one aspect. He'll be a beloved servant of Allah in accordance with his obedience, and an enemy of Allah in accordance with his sin and his disobedience. And some of them, some of the people, will be a pure enemy, such as the unbeliever and the mushrik. So this is the truth. And as for those who think that Allah has no awliya, Allah has no wali, there is no wali of Allah, there is no beloved servant of Allah, except for the one who has a shrine or a tomb built over his grave. And that anybody who does not have a shrine built over his grave, that he is not a wali, he's not a beloved servant of Allah, as is held by the grave worshippers, then this is false and futile. And that's not in any way a judge of a person's a beloved servant of Allah. When he dies, people build a shrine over his grave. He said that idea is batil, false and futile. Then finally, that's where Shaykh al-Fawzan ends explanation of that point. And just finally, something that Shaykh al-Albani mentioned, rahimahullah, he said about this point, and the believers, all of them are beloved servants of the Most Merciful. And the ones having the most honor with Allah are the ones who are most obedient and those who most closely follow the Qur'an, Shaykh al-Albani said. This contains a fine indication of a refutation of the blind followers of the madhabs. Those who prefer following of the madhab over following the book and the sunnah. And this is because following of the madhabs does not necessitate following the Qur'an. Because the madhabs have differences and disagreements within them. Whereas the Qur'an has no disagreement within it. Just as he, the Most High, said about it, وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Surah An-Nisa, the 4th surah, ayah 82. With the explanation, and if the Qur'an had been from other than Allah, they would have found great disagreement within it. Sheikh Albani said, so the Muslim, the more closely he follows the Quran, the more honor he will have with Allah the Most High. And the more he blindly sticks and blindly follows, then the further he will be removed away from Allah. And this is indicated by the author in his saying later in the book, لا يقلد إلا عصبي أو غبي. Nobody blindly follows except a blind partisan or an imbecile. And you can also refer to my book, Sifat al-Salah, he said. His book, Sifat al-Salah. Walhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Any points of clarification? What they say, those, the murji'a, that they say that the iman, when somebody has iman, then everybody who has iman, that iman is all the same. But as for the kuffar, they said, obviously, the kuffar are kuffar, they don't have iman. So they're referring just to the believers, the mu'minun. So as kuffar, then they say, you know, they agree that they're kuffar. But as for a believer, they say, once a person is a believer, then he is the same as any other believer. And that's why we say, as it came the last time or the time before, that's something the murji'a say, that it's permissible for even the most wicked person to say, my iman is like the iman of Abu Bakr. Or that it's permissible for the most wicked sinner to say, my iman is like the iman of Jibreel. They say, you can say that. Say, because if you've got iman, your iman is the same as anybody else who's got iman. It's just one level, it doesn't change. And that's false and futile, as the Sheikh mentioned. With regard to then Imam al-Tahawi, and as the people point out, then the creed, as the scholars mentioned, as we had when we started the Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah, then this is a creed which has been praised by the people of knowledge. And we'll just read some of that. The question was Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, from the fuqaha of the murji'a? Then even though some of the statements here that we saw that are mistaken statements that need correction, and overall, what we say about the book of al-Tahawi, and we'll quote it again, with regard to the book of al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, then Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz, rahimahullah, when he was asked about it, he was asked the question. There are some people who say that the book al-Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah does not represent the Aqidah of the Salaf, and that it contains mistakes, especially in the explanation, they said. Is this correct? So the Shaykh, rahimahullah, Shaykh Abdulaziz bin Baz, rahimahullah, he said, this is not correct. هذا ليس بصحيح. وفيه أخطاء قليلة نبه عليها الشارح. He said, this is not correct. It does contain a few mistakes, but the explainer pointed them out. And then he mentions the version printed with the notes of Ahmad Shakir and Shaykh al-Albani and explained. The explanation is good and mufid and salafi. And then he goes on to explain about the explanation. And he mentions the small number of mistakes in the text are pointed out by the explainer. And likewise, various others of the scholars, they've praised even the book itself, that even though there are some mistakes in the text, some agreement with the points of the murji'ah in matters of iman, then overall, that the book is an excellent book. Wallahu a'lam beyond that. And that's why Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz, rahimahullah, took the effort and the time to teach the book and to make notes upon it. Where there needs to be notes of correction, he made the notes of correction. Likewise, Sheikh al-Albani, he went through the book and the explanation, checking the ahadith because of the value of the book. Wallahu a'lam beyond that.
If you see someone, how can you know that
he's a wali of Allah? As for someone being a wali of Allah, then those two conditions, that he's a person of iman and he's a person of taqwa. I mean, he's not an open sinner of what people do, Sometimes they find you get a person who's an open, sinful person. He doesn't pray. He does various things totally contrary to the Sharia, and then he claims for himself, or his followers claim for him. Why is he so obviously against the Sharia? They say he's a wali of Allah. He's a servant of Allah. He's above all the rest of us. He's reached a level that none of us have. So he's no longer bound by the Islamic Sharia. This is something false and futile. Those a person who's not upon iman and not upon taqwa, not upon fear of Allah, not obeying Allah, openly and knowingly disobeying Allah, then this is not a wali of Allah. If he's not upon iman and not upon taqwa. But as for a person who is upon iman and upon taqwa, then even if it's a person who's got sins along with him, then the people vary in how close or how in their level of, as the Shaykh said, they differ in their level of being a wali of Allah. The more obedient a person is, the more taqwa he has, then the greater a wali of Allah he is. Wallahu a'lam. Evidence. There's narration about it, I recall it. I'll look for it for next time, inshallah. Homework? Yeah, homework, inshallah. Homework for all of us. What's the evidence that the iman of obviously the Sheikh Fawzan made the statement that the iman of Abu Bakr radiallahu an is equal to the iman of the rest of the ummah? What's the evidence for that? That's the homework for next time, inshallah. What's the evidence for that? I've got a suspicion. Homework for all of us. Homework for all of us. Inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك